And again, as Byron mentioned, we are having to make a change on our gospel meeting. Brother Jim, I talked with him earlier last week, and with his blood pressure issues, he was not feeling comfortable of wanting to be away from home with the scares that he had last week and the week before. And so, as my dad would say, I made a call to the bullpen. And he'll be coming and speaking for us the same week. And so we'll be looking forward to that. I mentioned to some before that, you know, the flyer, there's not much difference in the way they look. I think they both look the same. And I can say it on this camera and they'll all hear it too. And they'll make a comment about it later on to me. But this morning, Brother Don read for us from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 down to verse 17. And we want to talk about preacher preach. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14 down to verse 17, Paul goes on to point out the need for a preacher. The need for one to be able to go and spread the good news to others. You know, we've all struggled with different things in time past. Sometimes it could have been even our life in service to God. May have been a struggle. May have had tendencies where we might have fallen away. Maybe got to the point of just giving up on it. Or for some, maybe they're here this morning, they've already given up on it. Or maybe you're here this morning because you're ready to rededicate your life to the gospel. Preaching the gospel message can be difficult at times. I've dealt with the struggles myself with it. And they've been various types of struggles. Early on in preaching, I faced some difficulties. And it came to the point of me questioning, do I want to continue in it? Have you ever felt like that before? But it seemed like the providence of God came in at a very important time. Because I'm reminded, and I was reminded through a lesson when I went to a gospel meeting, talking about his struggles. Again, kind of facing some difficult circumstances that I myself was facing and thinking about that point. But he mentioned that he talked to an older preacher. And here's what that man said to kind of get him back on track. He said, aren't we all supposed to be preachers? In some sort of way, aren't we all supposed to be filling that role? Not just saying here at the pulpit. But we're all supposed to proclaim the gospel message to those we come in contact with. So, as that older preacher, as this preacher of mine was telling the story about himself as well, he said, if you're giving up on preaching, what that means is that you're giving up on the church. You're not fulfilling your duties as a Christian. You know, Byron was mentioning in the announcements this morning about how we have our meeting coming up and how we can be able to do different things. We got some different tools, whether it's some meeting flyers up front. We have some new ink pens with a new information, a phone number and everything on there. There are small things that we can do in God's kingdom to be able to proclaim the good news. And we can always talk. And we can talk about all the ways we can preach. And we can use those abilities to be able to glorify God, but also continuing to preach the word. And I want to consider this in our lesson this morning. Again, as Paul says here, how are people going to know the gospel? I'm going to paraphrase. How can people know the gospel unless they hear it? And how are they going to hear it unless someone goes and tells them? I always joke around and use verse 15 about how my feet are always beautiful. But it is true. The work of a Christian, of an evangelist, of a person, a child of God, is that we can be able to proclaim the gospel, and our feet are beautiful. They're dedicated to the work. I want you to think about just a little bit for me, first of all, that it can be easy to hide the fact that we are Christians. We all can proclaim it here in the building. I think it's by your desire to be here this morning, you're already on the right track of showing that you're a Christian. But when we leave that door, when we get in our car, when we go to our home, when we go to our job, when we go to the grocery store, when we go to whatever it is that we're doing outside of these walls, it can be easy to hide the fact that we are Christians. We can allow sin to go on its way. I think we were talking about that a little bit this morning in class. We may not say a word about what type of sin or what type of behavior that is sinful is going, and we may not say a word about it. There are a lot of times when individuals will use language, for instance, and I'm just using that just as an easy one, first of all. Someone says a curse word in front, you know, and I'm used to it. I grew up working construction, working on the and when someone says it, you know, for a while they're just kind of just let it go. But then I thought about it, so, you know, why don't you say something? See if it helped. And it did help a little bit. I'm not saying that it just cured all. But when you say something, you let someone know about this, that it does bother you, that it is not right. Whether it's even a sinful type of behavior, whether you could go steal or do all these sorts of different things, whatever it might be, if we don't say a word about it by not saying anything, people will look at it, well, you must be accepting it. Sometimes we don't want to offend anyone. My mother, and I love my mother to death, she has this tendency of not wanting to offend anyone at all. She is, as some of you may know her, she is one of the nicest people, willing to do whatever you ask of her. She will try to do it. But then she has this other side where she doesn't want to offend anyone. One time I remember, I was in the back seat. Mom and Dad were in the car. Mom was driving. And we're all on the road and everything and going down the road. And all of a sudden, there's this huge pothole. I mean, it looked like it could just take out the whole car. And there she goes down there, and my dad's over there pointing out, saying, there's a pothole up ahead. Yeah, I know. There's a pothole up it. Yeah, I know. There's a pothole up it. Yeah, I know. Boom! Went right in there. Didn't you hear me say about the, I heard you say, but there was someone that was in this lane. I didn't want to bother them. My mom, and we all have our different faults. So I wouldn't even call it a fault, but here's one of her tendencies. Not wanting to offend people at times. In that capacity. You know, some people may not want to offend anyone. Oh, you might say something that might go against someone else's beliefs. You might say something against someone else's lifestyle. Whatever it might be, you don't want to offend them. And so you won't say anything. You will hide your light from the world. When I started preaching full time, I understood this next one. It was difficult at first. You know, I had so many different friends. But then when I started preaching, especially when I started preaching, I started losing some of those friendships. Some people want to hide their light, hide the fact that they are Christians because they don't want to lose those friends. Then again, when we think about it, it can be easy to hide the fact that we're Christians because we want to be like everyone else. And I will admit that these things can be a struggle. But we see how the world operates as well.
It can be easy to hide the fact that we are Christians. And that is not the way it's supposed to be. It is a battle that we're all facing. We're warned about it as well. We want to hide the fact that we're Christians. Another word is called being cowardly. And we're warned about that. Look with me if you go over in Revelation 21 in verse 8. I find it interesting as we look at Revelation 21 verse 8. There's all this list of all these different types of sinful actions, sinful behaviors that are mentioned there. But there's one that's even mentioned that, you know, goes along with this. And it's the first one that's mentioned. If you look at Revelation 21 verse 8, he says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, as we look at some of this, yes, Daniel, we can see, well, those that are unwilling to believe, those that are abominable, those that are murderers, those that are sexually immoral, those that are sorcerers, those that are idolaters, those that are liars, those are all sinful behaviors. And right there in the middle of it, the first one that's mentioned, the cowardly. The cowardly is warned to be in doom of the second death. Just like any other sin. You know, we're to be seeking God. We're to be seeking God to avoid this second death. This cowardliness. This inability or this desire not to let our light shine is sinful. Who will stand for Jesus if no one is willing to stand for Jesus? Who's going to be able to just let their lives, who's going to let others know about sin if we are afraid or if we are wanting to not let our lives shine? We look in Matthew 5, verse 14 down to verse 16. You know, it goes along with that song that we sing as kids, that we teach our kids. And I imagine, you know, Miss Wanda's teaching the class back there. She probably sung that a few times. Just a little light of mine. All the kids in here, I mean, you know, I remember each one of my kids, we'd be in the car, and every time you want to sing a song, yeah, and one of them, all of them at a certain point, they'd put that finger up, and I knew exactly what they wanted to say. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide it under a basket. I'm going to let it shine around the neighborhood. In Matthew 5, verse 14 down to verse 16, Jesus talks about this. He says, you, speaking to each of us, speaking to those that were listening to him that day, and it still applies to us this day. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, our light is not to be hidden. We shouldn't let these other factors try to play in our life and try to push us away from showing the fact that we're Christians. We're to let our light shine. We're to let that good news of the gospel be preached. You know, one of the ways that we can be able to do that is by our actions. By our actions, again, as we look here in verse 16, let your light so shine that they, that others, that may not have this light in them yet, may see your good works, may see the fact that you are a Christian, that you give glory back to your Father in heaven. By our actions and deeds, we play an influence on the lives of others. I mentioned something about this, I believe, last week. When I was playing sports, and when I played baseball in particular, again, I mentioned how my parents had made the rule, same rule that I have for Corrigan and Ophelia and Emily's. You want to play sports, it's fine. But it's the, you know, church comes first.
I had a couple of coaches when I first started playing that were kind of upset about that rule. With them, what my parents did, and my dad said, well, you know, they can play a little bit on Wednesday, or they cannot play at all. They can play a little bit on Sunday, or they can not play at all. But I had one of them, the last baseball coach I had there in Cincinnati. I had him from when I moved there up until my last year I played. And he knew the rule. And in fact, it came to the point where he wanted to be able to have all of his players play. He tried to rotate. He would get the schedule at the beginning of the season. And if it didn't work, if they had a Wednesday or Sunday game, he would always try to reschedule it with the coach immediately. The last year, when we finished up the very last game that I played, he called up my dad, called up my mom. I remember my parents telling me this as well. He said, I've been coaching your son for 5 years now. And he said, you've had that same rule that applied to church. That you're trying to raise your child in the right way. And after all them years, he never complained about the rule, never fought my parents on it. He said, I respect your rule and I appreciate what you've done with your son. And I wish others would be able to do the same. Those small things can lead up to other things. They can play a role on others' lives. They can play an influence and have some sort of impact on their life. You know, as we think about this morning, there are people that are in need of the gospel. Over in Romans chapter 10, I want to read those verses again. And Brother Don read for us, I do appreciate that this morning. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14 down to verse 17. Romans 10, verse 14 down to verse 17. Paul says here, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are people in the world, and I think we can all agree, yes, we could just look in Norwalk. There are people that need to know more of the gospel message. And as Paul gets down to it, he says, how are they going to know it? Again, that chain reaction of everything as we look here in verse 14. How are they going to call on him whom they have not believed? How are they going to believe in him whom they have not heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to preach unless they're sent? Again, we see the chain reaction. The way for someone to be able to receive the gospel is that someone's going to have to go to them. Each one of us here this morning have had someone in their life come to them and preach the gospel message to them. It's a fact. Someone has spoken a word, whether it is your spouse, whether it is, you know, maybe even children, whether it is your parents, whether it is the preacher himself, whether it is a member here, someone took the time to be able to preach a gospel message to you. So again, as Paul asked, how are they going to know? I'm a big Star Wars fan. I see the power of the Force displayed in all these different movies. The gospel message is not going to be used, and the Force is not going to be able to be placed. So, you know, the Force, we can't use the Force to be able to place the gospel in someone's head. Not going to be able to do it, you know, with our minds. In order for someone to believe in the gospel message, they got to be able to receive it. And that is such a beautiful and joyous task that we can have to share the good news. It'll have its bumps in the road, but still an incredible task. Again, I mentioned there were some struggles that I faced in my life. But you know, And I'm not trying to say that this one, but this one really nailed it on the head for me. And that was in August of 2017. On our fourth Sunday night of the month, singing night, when my son came forward. When Corbin came forward and decided he wanted to obey the gospel, there's that little bit of, you know, I'm so happy about some, you know, happy about all these people that have obeyed the gospel. There's something a little bit extra special with it being my own son. And seeing and understanding more the joyous task it is for someone to obey the gospel. I heard Byron talking to me about it. He said, "You think you can handle it?" And I was kind of stuttering a little. "Yeah, I think I can. I'll try. Try to control myself with all this. Not just jump in there, just put them in there right then." But there's a joyous task. And it revitalized and it re-encouraged me even more. That this is one of the things that I personally want to do. A relationship with God begins with faith, and it comes through hearing the Word of God. The Word of God that we are commanded to go and preach to others. The hearing is depending on us. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 down to verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 down to verse 5. This hearing of the gospel is depending on us as individuals that receive it. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 down to verse 5, he says, "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom." Where he says to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You know, as we think, God will judge all in the last day. God will judge each one of us according to our actions in that last day as we look at verse 1. And as Paul says those words to Timothy, here's his conclusion. First of all, preach the word. At all times. All points of life. He goes on to say to Timothy, be ready for an opposition. People may present their own form of gospel, which of course is not, and we'll talk more about that tonight as we conclude our series from 2 Peter. But people are wanting to have their ears tickled. They're going to want to be turned aside to fables. What's a fable? Well, it's something that's a story. That can't happen. Might have some meaning to it, but the events cannot happen. With all this being said, we are to continue to preach or continue to endure. Continue to do the work of an evangelist. Fulfilling the ministry that's needed pertaining to the kingdom of God. Again, preacher, preach. I've been blessed with the opportunity to be able to be here at Norwalk. But one that fulfills the pulpit is not the only preacher. Because again, we are all preachers of the cross. We're doing so by word and by deed. Over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul writing to fellow Christians. In Colossians 3, verse 17, says, "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." We are all ministers of the cross.
doing so by word and by deed. You know, again, we are all soldiers of Christ. Again, I draw your attention back to 2 Timothy, this time chapter 2. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we look at verse 3. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We are all soldiers of Christ. We as individuals must endure the hardships that may come our way. And there will be some. But we can also know that these trials, that these hardships, they help produce patience and endurance in our service to God. We are all representing Christ after putting on Christ in baptism. As we rise up out of those waters of baptism, we rise up as a new creature in Christ. And we are to continue to be representation of Christ. We're to imitate Christ. We're to show by word and by deed that we are indeed Christians. Romans 6 and verse 4. And so what we want to do is, let's share the good news with all. I want to close with these verses from Isaiah. In Isaiah 61, if you'll turn there with me back to the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 61. Let's look at verses 1 down to verse 11. Isaiah chapter 61, beginning with verse 1. Says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I see the Lord love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as a garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." We can share the good news of salvation with others. And we can begin to do that this morning. The gospel message is what gives us hope. It has shown us direction in our life of what we need to do to be saved. If there's anyone that needs to answer the invitation call this morning, maybe you've heard this lesson this morning, it's inspired you to want to make your life right with God, you are wanting to turn back to the fold of God, or maybe you need prayers of encouragement, we'll be glad to assist you, be glad to help you, be glad to pray for you, be glad to encourage you, do whatever we can. For the mass select the invitation, if you want to go ahead and turn there now, if there are any that are subject to the invitation, we'll be glad to help you, be glad to do whatever we can. We see our responsibility is to be able to preach and teach the good news. And let's begin doing that this morning. Take advantage of those. If we've failed in those opportunities, let's take advantage of it now. Let's start anew again together. If we can help you start anew in your life and your service to God, please let me know how we can assist you. And you can do it now, walk together while we stand and while we sing.